Penguin Random House presents Gopal's Gully, written by Zareen Virji, read by Mithil Shah. One. We reached Mumbai late in the evening. I was tired, hot and sweaty. What else to expect at the beginning of March? Watching the double-decker buses, the cars, the small black and yellow taxis was fascinating. But the noise was deafening. Such intense sounds. And the smell, I didn't know what it was, but it was foul. We walked on and on forever. My headache got worse. When Sanjeev Mama said we had reached home, I stared hard. We were on a narrow road with a green wall on one side. There were houses across the road, but on the side where we were was just one long stretch of wall. There was a rickety wooden ladder placed against it. Not saying a word, he climbed up the ladder and I followed him to walk down a similar ladder on the other side. Next to this ladder stood a tin shack alongside the railway tracks. This was home? Not that home earlier had been a palace. My village home was a half pakka, half kacha house. The kacha part housed the two goats and the fowls, while we had a kitchen and three rooms in the pakka section. There was never enough money, neither for the windows to be fitted nor for the plastering. With every passing monsoon, the structure worsened, becoming more and more derelict. The villagers said I was unfortunate. They pitied me. Poor boy, his father's dead and now his mother's gone too. I didn't really mind. Amma used to thrash me quite often for no reason. Then she'd sit and cry for hours after her chores were done. My father, the alcoholic brute, in Amma's words, died when I was barely two. Her in-laws decided to get rid of her for eating up her husband. So her father, Baba, was summoned to take her away. That's how we ended up in Badriya. For 10 years, Amma slaved in the small plot of land behind our house. Her job was to see to the sowing and harvesting of maize and pulses, while Baba worked in the zamindar's sugarcane fields. By the time I was 7, I started helping with the odd jobs in the zamindar's haveli. Baba said that would help us to wipe off our debts. Amma's health was always frail, but it was her cough that did her in. It accompanied her wherever she went. Before Diwali last year, her cough worsened. Neither the medicine from the government health center nor the smoke and broom routine from the witch doctor helped. When she began spewing out blood 4 months later, everyone was convinced that she'd die sooner rather than later. It did feel strange to see her lying cold and silent and then being carried away. And worst of all, I had to light the funeral pyre and get my head shaved. But at the back of my mind was this growing anticipation. Sanjeev Mama was taking me to Mumbai. I was almost 13 and I was more than ready to get away. Sanjeev Mama used to boast about Mumbai being a charmed city of tall buildings swarming with movie stars. And I'd finally get to see the sea. Amma dying didn't feel so bad, after all. I wasn't fond of Sanjeev Mama. No sane person could really like a short-fused guy such as him. But what did it matter? At least he agreed to have me tag along. Actually, it was because Baba convinced him that I could add to the family income by finding a job of some sort. To earn my own money sounded exciting in itself, but also because I would no longer have to deal with my bossy aunt and her non-stop orders and her three little squealing children. I'd also be able to rid myself of the label Gopal the Low Caste Boy, as nobody bothered about caste in Mumbai, according to Sanjeev Mama. My excitement about the journey evaporated almost as soon as our travels began. I could not stop retching from the time we left our village at noon on a rattling bus. We reached Lakhimpur as the sun was setting, because a tire burst. I was left idling at the railway station while Sanjeev Mama went off to pass the better part of the night with his friends. Like a spineless scarecrow, my body crumpled on the railway bench, too tired to take in the goings-on at the station. Even before the roosters began to crow, Sanjeev Mama shook me awake to board the train to Lucknow. After another long wait at Lucknow, we were finally on our way to Mumbai in the Gorakhpur Express. All the seats were already filled with twice or thrice the number of passengers that could be accommodated. So we settled ourselves on the floor near the toilets. The men all lit their bidis after every meal. The smoke made my eyes tear and made me cough. Was I glad when the disgusting journey came to an end? But it seemed trains were going to be a part of my home now. Just as I entered the shack, two trains from opposite ends went past each other. One hooted to welcome me. Sanjeev Mama left to get us something to eat. There was one more shack a short distance away, and a leafy canopy shaded both these dwellings. This tree was unlike the trees in our village. It had pink blossoms with small green leaves. The greyish orange sky was peeping through its umbrella-shaped crown. The tree was rooted on the other side of the wall, next to the street. I scaled the wall to check out the tree and dropped down on the other side. Just as I'd hoped, I could easily climb up and down this tree. While I was wondering whether to explore the tree now or the next day, a ball rolled to the foot of the ladder.
"Hey, you there! Throw it back!"
I glanced across the road. Two boys, around my age, were playing cricket. I smiled and threw it back. They resumed their game. Forget calling me to join them. They didn't even acknowledge me after getting their ball back. I had to scale the tree then and there to let them see how good I was at climbing. I clambered up swiftly. The leaves brushing against my skin felt so cool. Resting my head against the fork of the boughs, I was reminded of the games in our basti. We played lagori and gilli danda, while the zamindar's folk mostly played cricket. When Masterji wanted to take a nap, he let us play langri tang.
"Gopal, what are you doing? Are you going to trouble me like this? Come down and eat!"
That was my loving Sanjeev Mama. Better to listen to him so that he wouldn't find a reason to send me back. When he'd go to work, I could do whatever I wanted. I went down meekly and took some stuff wrapped in newspaper from him. "What's this?"
"Don't ask questions. I'm tired. It's vada pav, most famous dish in Malad. Not just Malad, all over Mumbai."
He was silent while he chomped on his portion. And then, as if he had been thinking, he continued.
"How in hell am I going to find a job for you? Skills? You have none. And forget becoming a hero. With your looks, you won't even make it as a Bollywood extra. What a sorry package you are. Scrawny legs, owlish eyes, and rabbit teeth."
"Baba says I have a good memory," I said in my own defense.
"That's because you have nothing better to do. You just loiter and watch people and remember word for word what people say.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?